I should be writing season 19, episode 1. It's a metacast.
I'm going to leave the ambient rain noise in the podcast because it's kind of cozy. Maybe you're warm and listening to the rain noise. That'll be nice. I'm cold and listening to the rain noise.
Well, I should be riding. I should be working on my craft. I should be riding. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting home watching Doctor.
Hi there. Welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is a podcast for wannabe fiction writers, and I'm your host, Merle Lafferty. I promise. Happy New Year. I know it is the 17th when I'm recording this. I'm recording in my car. It's raining. It's cold. But because of the pandemic, I can't go inside with my dog, and she's doing rehab right now. So first, I usually do have a loose format for the show, but I'm going to do something different this time because I'm sitting in my car and don't have much else to do. So where I've been, that's probably the first question people are asking. I got head down to finish my novel. I really wanted to finish it, to finish the edits, which was almost a complete rewrite, before the new year because I was going on vacation and I really didn't want to write on vacation. But the deadline was tight enough to where I couldn't afford to take a week off. So I busted my butt in December, took a couple of days off for the holidays, and then the last week of the month just wrote and wrote and wrote. And I didn't have time to put the episodes in the feed. I didn't have time. I just didn't have the mental bandwidth to do any of this. And that was unfortunate. I am most embarrassed about the fact that I didn't get my gift guide out. I did the gift guide live, but I didn't get it out in time. But there's still good purchases to make at any time, so I'm going to put that out. Then the first week, as I said, I was at the beach on vacation. The second week of the month was kind of crappy. While it's true, I don't have to drive to downtown Durham twice a day anymore, I do have other things tend to fill the thing. I have another family member I need to kind of be on call for. My dog had 2 knee replacements last fall. Now she's starting rehab, so I had to take her for a first assessment, and now this is where we are right now. She's inside doing her rehab stuff, and I'm sitting outside because we had a global pandemic. So now I've got two rehab visits a week for at least the next month. And then I got a migraine, and I think the migraine was due to all of the really hard work I did at the end of December, because the migraines kind of started over the holidays or over the vacation and have kind of never really gone away. My migraines are weird. I know how to treat them. I know where they come from. They just still suck. And then I called my physical therapist, and she's going to help me with my migraines, but she wants to see me twice a week. So between appointments and migraines, last week I got nothing done. I'm trying to figure out how to get stuff done with those 4 requirements. But I need to get better, and she needs to get stronger. So, but none of this has to do with anything, except I was thinking again about what I want to do this year. Try not to do resolutions, but I'm kind of liking the thought of maybe not a focus word, but just one thing to think about during the year. I've addressed fear many times. I'm still afraid of a lot of things. My goal this year is to stop chickening out, because I can make awesome things. I just need to let myself do it. If you go to my newsletter, The Hot Mic, I recently wrote about this and did a link to Zay Frank's The Show from 2006. I feel so dang old saying that, because it still feels a lot fresher than almost 20 years ago. But the fact that he did a video every day, every weekday for a year, and discussed things like creativity and freezing and the fact that he just did a whole bunch of stupid things because he got an idea for it. Like Beatnik Turtle, also around that time, also did a song every day. And a lot of them were terrible. And some of Dave Frank's ideas, well, his fans liked them, but I was a fan, but I didn't get into them. Like Make an Earth Sandwich, where you put a piece of bread on the ground and then you find the geographical location on the exact opposite point of the earth and see if you can find someone to put a piece of bread there. That's the kind of thing he would do. But he still did something every day. And there's something about doing something every day that forces you to do the ideas you think might be stupid. And when you're thinking about, I just have to get something done, instead of, is this any good or not? You have a better chance of doing something awesome. This is why in the Patreon that we have a Kick in the Pants workshop. And the Kick in the Pants workshop is, I send out a prompt and you have 30 minutes or 1,000 words to answer the prompt. And you can really write whatever you want. But the goal is, you've only got a certain amount of time to do it. You can't sit there and think, is this any good or not? And a lot of people have said, you know, I haven't written all month. This is the first time I've actually gotten anything done. You know, when you remove those barriers, you often manage to make something cool. Or if you don't make something cool, you might get a bad idea out of your head and then it's not clogging your brain anymore. I love the idea. One of the things that's holding me back, I'll be honest, and I'm secretly thinking this is just an excuse, but one of the things holding me back is I wear a lot of hats. You know, if you're new to me, I am a fiction writer. I do 2 podcasts, 2.5 kind of. I'll explain the half in a minute. I do this podcast, and I do Ditch Diggers, which is more on the business side of writing. And I live stream them, so most recordings are live streamed. I'm also a magazine editor. I'm co-editor of Escape Pod, which I'm sometimes a host, so I have to write and record those. That's the half podcast. Sometimes I'm a host. Rarely I am a narrator, but sometimes I am. So there's all this stuff that I do. And so if I thought I'm going to do a project every day, I don't know what that would entail, but I think I'm actually leaning in that direction because I think I'll let myself make something cool if I do that. I'm edging that way. We'll see how the brain accepts this idea. So I signed up for a free seminar. I told myself I wasn't going to pay for anything because I wasted a lot of money on memberships or seminars or stuff that I just didn't take advantage of last year. But this one was free. It's just you have 48 hours to watch the videos after they're released. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. But I'm not going to steal a woman's thunder, but one of the videos I was watching before I recorded this, someone pointed out something that I had never, ever thought of, which blew my mind. And it was addressing writer's block, but really she started talking about plotters and pantsers. And some people are like to do outlines, detailed outlines. And those are called plotters. And some of us write by the seat of our pants. Don't know, got the rough idea, but don't know where we're going. And we'll find out as we're writing. But what this woman said was, if you are a pantser, you need to write more often. Like, the idea to write every day is a great idea if your lifestyle supports it, if your health supports it, if your brain supports it. It's not for everybody, and it should not be considered the one way to get a writing career, because that's not feasible for a lot of people. However, if you are a pantser, you will do better if you write more often, because your brain needs to stay in that world, because you don't have any, when you're working without a map, you need to do it more often, because then you'll remember where you were intending to go yesterday when you stopped writing. If you let a lot of time pass, then you're going to come to it cold and go, okay, where the hell was I going? I remember one time
on my very first book, my kid, who's in college now, was a toddler, and I wrote the end of a chapter where someone was knocking on a door, and the kid came over and slapped her hand on the laptop, which closed down my program, and I got annoyed and just shut it and stopped writing for the day. I was traveling at the time. I didn't get a chance to get back to the manuscript for a while, and when I got back to it a couple of weeks later, I had no idea who was at the door. None. So that's one of those things that seems to be common sense, because, I mean, of course, it makes sense, but I'd never thought of it that way, that if you are a pantser, you need to be writing more often than people who aren't pantsers. So I'm going to try to figure out doing this weird creative thing. And of course, I'll have to put it out online because that'll make myself accountable. It's not like I don't have ideas. I've got a ton of ideas. But anyway, I'm feeling a little lost with the podcast. I won't lie. I haven't looked at my 22 numbers yet, which I'm only going to count January through October, because I kind of stopped in November, the regular feed, because I was doing a daily podcast for NaNoWriMo people, and I just didn't have it in me. And then December was working on the book, so I've been able to do some live streams, but it's been rough. But I'm going to have a couple of guests on. I'm going to keep talking about writing. I need to come up with a good title for this wild project. I've talked about jealousy before, and I feel weird talking about it because I know I've got the writing career I dreamt of. I'm not a bestseller, and I'm not making living wage money, but I'm published, and people are starting to know my name, and I've been nominated for awards, and things are pretty great. But of course, I look at what other people have who are more successful than I am, and I'm jealous. I went to Target the other day, and if you don't know this, getting your book in Target or Walmart or the grocery store is a brass ring. It is an ultimate goal, because if you're there, then you know you're in all the bookstores anyway. But grocery stores and Target and stuff is a place of impulse buying. And people are thinking, oh God, it's Thursday night, I'm doing my grocery shopping, and tomorrow's my mom's birthday, what am I going to do? I'll get her the new Colleen Hoover book, because it's right there. My local Barnes & Noble started carrying Tor.com novellas, but they don't have my book. And the clerk offered to order it for me. I'm like, dude, I don't want my own book. I want you to carry my own book on your store shelves. But I was nice. I was nicer than that, because I know he doesn't control what books the Barnes & Noble carries. But that was frustrating. Anyway, I'm getting off topic. Jealousy. I was in Target looking at the books, and Colleen Hoover has just exploded. And I think not only her new books, but her backlist has exploded. Which is just, that's like printing money, man. I know she is one of those book talk explodey writers. It's people started covering her books on book talk, and that's how she got suddenly a lot of interest, which is great. But then I think about the fact that I wanted to do TikTok stuff, and I did a couple, and then I chickened out. 2023, don't chicken out, remember? And I know book talk can't be manipulated by authors, but I also know that being on TikTok myself will give me a better chance of discoverability than not. I've got a milestone birthday coming up, and I think that's also making me hesitate. Do I want to do the thing that's hot with the kids now when I'm clearly not a kid? And then I think about what I would tell people if they were saying this to me. Mainly, get over yourself. You're doing nothing but getting older. Why not take advantage of how young you are right now? And not that getting older is bad. The older I get, the happier I get. I have more confidence. I just need to get over myself, y'all. One thing a milestone birthday reminds you of is you're running out of time to do the wildly experimental stuff that you always wondered if you could do. And so it's either, you know, buy a sports car or start making really weird stuff. I think I'll go for the weird stuff because I don't want a sports car. So, in short, what I definitely am going to keep doing is the live streams, because the live streams give me energy. They make me feel more connected to my community. It's just more fun. I think I would like to start doing more lone episodes like this one. We'll see how that goes. Matt and I will start Ditch Diggers back up in February. We're going to be doing every other week because we're going to be taking the alternating weeks and meeting to discuss what we're going to be talking about. So it's going to be like planned and polished. How wild is that? And everything else, we'll see as we go. I am warming to this do something every day thing. Do something that's a start and a finish every day. It's scary. And one reason why it's scary is what if I want to do something that's more than one step? For writing, that would be easy. You just put out a part of a story every day. But for things like, if I want to do a game, can I get that designed in one day? On the third hand, if I did that, then maybe I would have a seed for something that's really cool that I could explore later without doing this wild thing. All right, I think I have my way to go. I'm scared. I'm chickening out. No, I'm chickening. I'm just not chickening out. That is not a phrase that ever worked, but that's what I'm saying. I'll probably be releasing whatever I can release into this feed. Or I might make a new feed. I have trouble making decisions. That's really what it comes down to. It's embarrassing. But, you know, I'll put stuff into... I'll mention stuff on the podcast if you're worried about missing something. I'll mention my newsletter, which is The Hot Mic. And that'll be linked in the show notes. Online, I am not very active socially right now. My opinion on the Twitter apocalypse is, and a lot of people are saying, you can't get rid of me. Twitter is where I'm comfortable. Twitter is where I have fun. And I agree with that. And I still peek in from time to time. But we're at a place in our history where we are the commodity. We are the things that people buy. Our eyeballs are the things that people buy. And I don't like being a commodity that helps Elon Musk do anything. So contributing to Twitter's platform is not something I'm really comfortable doing right now. And I don't judge anybody who stays at all. And maybe I'm shooting myself in the foot because Twitter is a lot how I built my career. But I'm also on Mastodon and Hive, and I joined Post, but I need to learn more about it before I get moving. But I'll put these socials in the show notes. And I'm still doing Focus Mates if you want to join me. That link is also in the show notes. If you want some co-working, one-on-one, this is not like me coaching you. This is you and I meet and say, hey, here's what I'm working on. And then we're silent for an hour or 75 minutes. And then we get back together and say, what'd you work on? It helps more than you think it would, especially if you work from home like me. I'm not sponsored by Focusmate. I just use it a lot. The best place to find me is Merverse.com, and that'll have links to all of this other stuff. Mastodon, Hive, my new newsletter, which is on Substack. But my dog's almost done. I am freezing in this car. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting me all these years. We're on the 19th season. That's just wild to me. And I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going because doing this helps me. And also, I know it helps other people too. If you're new, send me a message, mightymer@gmail.com, and say hey. But until then, you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at Merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. I should be
watching Doctor Who.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.